There we go. Now I can almost hear myself talking, echo. Once again, good morning. I'm glad everyone's doing well today. Like I said, y'all pray for me. I'm a little under the weather. Not going to make excuses, though. I serve a mighty God, so not going to make excuses. But we come here early in the praise team practices, and they asked me, they said, should we do 3, 4, 5 songs? How long's your sermon? And I said, well, as long as the KO Peck take holds up, I don't know. So might be a short sermon, might be a long one, not sure. But that was probably too much information than y'all needed to know. But if you don't mind, turn into your Bibles. I hope you have your Bibles this morning. Go to the book of 2 Samuel. Appreciate the praise team for all that they do for us and for the Lord and kind of ushering us into a time of worship and getting our hearts prepared for God's Word. And Miss Lisa, for choosing How Great Thou Art. That's my all-time favorite song. I want that sung at my funeral. I may even record it. I was thinking about it just a while ago. I may record that song since no one will let me join the choir. They won't let me join the praise team. If I sing in the congregation, I have to keep it really low. But I may record that song and make people play it at my funeral. How about that? Maybe make them play it like 3 times in between scriptures and stuff. But no, that is my all-time favorite song. It brings tears to my eyes every time I sing it or hear it sung. This morning, kind of a tough sermon. Once again, I had something planned. I was really going to hit hard on study to show thyself approved. And I was really going to hit people who don't come to Sunday school. I really was. And I was even going to make people stand up, Miss Lisa. Just stand up if you did not attend Sunday school. And I just think it's so important. God's Word is so important. And a couple weeks ago when Brother Kyle asked me to preach today, and I wish he wouldn't do it so far in advance because I always forget. But about 3 or 4 weeks ago, he did ask me. He said, I'm going to be out of town, and could you preach? And I said, sure. And immediately I went to that verse and studied to show thyself approved, and God just started changing things and took me to 2 Samuel. So that y'all might get that sermon at another time, but you do need to come to Sunday school. Amen? Who here attended Sunday school this morning? I will. Oh, hey, that's just about everybody. See, I didn't need to preach that sermon, but most of y'all came. But 2 Samuel jumped out. I was actually studying this book. The youth are going through the journey through the Bible on Sunday night, and I'm doing my best and trying to teach them through that study. It's a wonderful study. We started doing it on Sunday night, and so now we're doing it with the youth. We started doing it on Wednesday night, and now we're doing it with the youth on Sunday night. So last Sunday night, we did 2 Samuel, the whole book. It's really tough to kind of teach a whole book in about 40 minutes. But I was preparing all week long, and I was reading this book. I tried to read the whole book. Whatever book it is, I tried to read the whole book that week before I teach. Sometimes it's easy, sometimes it's not that easy. It's pretty difficult. I came to 2 Samuel chapter 11, and I was reading this chapter, and if I haven't told you yet, that's where we're going to be today, 2 Samuel chapter 11. And I was reading this chapter, and just kind of, my thoughts were I was going to just read it, right? Read it quickly, because there's like 24, 27 chapters in 2 Samuel, can't remember. I was going to read chapter 11 as fast as I could to get to chapter 12 and just kind of keep going on because I had to read the whole book in 1 week as I was preparing to teach on Sunday night. And chapter 11 just would not leave me. Just would not leave me. It just kept coming. I was driving to work. I read this chapter one morning before I went to work. And the whole way to work, I told Andrew, the whole way to work, it just would not leave me. God would just not leave me alone. And 3 words in particular just kept coming up and like slapping me right in the face. You ever had that happen to you as you're studying God's Word and something just won't leave you? And you try to turn the radio on and you try to turn it up a little bit and it seems like God's voice just keeps ringing and it's ringing, right? And that's what happened here in this chapter. And it's a very familiar chapter. Everyone, people who don't even attend church, knows a little bit about David and Bathsheba and Uriah and sort of that whole thing, how that played out. But just in a second, if you go to verse 2, and I'll tell you the three words that just would not leave me alone. Go to verse 2 real quick. I'm not going to read the whole verse. We're fixing to read it in just a second. And it said, then it happened. Did everybody's scripture say that? Then it happened. Those three words almost haunted me for a week. You might want to underline them in your Bible. If you do that, I really encourage people just writing in their Bibles. I've got a brand new Bible. It doesn't have a whole lot of ink in it, but hopefully as time goes on, I'll have notes everywhere in it, just like my old Bible. But those three words, then it happened. And what God was really, I think God was really talking to me and speaking to me about these three words and about this chapter is how in the world do we avoid moments like then it happened? How do we avoid then it happened moments in our lives? How do we? So we're going to touch on that just a little bit today. Hopefully, as God was speaking to me, and hopefully I can share some things with you. I am not a pastor. I'm just someone who loves the Lord. I love God's Word. I try to understand it just like you do every day. I'm not an expert in it. But hopefully through these words, hopefully through God speaking through me, hopefully through you actually looking at your word as I'm speaking, maybe God will speak to you and kind of illuminate your mind on this subject as well. How do we avoid then it happen moments? Let's pray. Father God, we just thank you. We love you. Lord, we love your word. Lord, we're so thankful that we can gather, Lord, with other believers and open your word this morning, Lord, and we're so thankful, Lord, and humbled by the fact that you allowed us to come into your house, Lord. And we've already worshiped you with songs, Lord. And we've worshiped you with tithes and offering. Lord, we've even worshiped you, and some people don't realize this, we've worshiped you as we fellowship one with another. Lord, now as we come to this point in time of the service, Lord, as we open your word, Lord, we know that it is precious. Lord, that it is powerful. Lord, it changes lives. Lord, if we just allow it. Lord, now just I pray that you'll just speak through me, Lord, and to everyone here, including myself. We just thank you once again. We love you. It's in the name of Jesus Christ I do pray. Amen. So let's read these verses. This 27, I can't remember. I'm bad with numbers, but I'm going to start on verse 1. Better get my glasses. Said it happened in the spring of the year at the time when kings go out to battle that David sent Joab, his servants, with him and all Israel. And they destroyed the people of Ammon and besieged Rabbah, but David remained in Jerusalem. That's another key phrase. Then it happened. those three words. Then it happened. One evening that David arose from his bed and walked on the roof of his king's house, and from the roof he saw a woman bathing, and the woman was very beautiful to behold. So David sent and inquired about the woman, and someone said, "Is this not Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite?" Then David sent messengers and took her, and she came to him, and he lay with her, for she was cleansed from her impurity. And she returned to her house. And the woman conceived. So she sent and told David and said, "I am with child." Then David sent to Joab, saying, "Send me Uriah the Hittite." And Joab sent Uriah to David. When Uriah had come to him, David asked how Joab was doing, how the people were doing, and how the war prospered. And David said to Uriah, "Go down to your house and wash your feet." So Uriah departed from the king's house, and a gift of food from the king followed him. But Uriah slept at the door of the king's house with all his servants of the Lord, and did not go down to his house. So when they told David, saying, Uriah did not go down to his house, David said to Uriah, did you not come from a journey? Why did you not go down to your house? And Uriah said to David, the ark and Israel and Judah are dwelling in tents, and my lord Joab and the servants of my lord are encamped in the open fields. Shall I then go to my house and eat and drink and lie with my wife? As you live and as your soul lives, I will not do this thing. Then David said to Uriah, wait here today also, and tomorrow I will let you depart. So Uriah remained in Jerusalem that day and the next. Now when David called him, he ate and drank before him, and he made him drunk. And at the evening he went out to lie on his bed with the servants of his Lord, but did not go down to his house. In the morning it happened that David wrote a letter to Joab and sent it by the hand of Uriah. And he wrote in the letter saying, set Uriah in the forefront of the hottest battle, and retreat from him, that he may be struck down and die. So it was while Joab besieged the city that he assigned Uriah to a place where he knew there were valiant men. Then the men of the city came out and fought with Joab, and some of the people of the servants of David fell, and Uriah the Hittite died also. Then Joab sent and told David all these things concerning the war, and charged the messenger, saying, when you have finished telling the matter of the war to the king, if it happens that the king's wrath rises, and he says to you, why did you approach so near to the city when you fought? Did you not know that they would shoot from the wall? Who struck Abimelech, the son of Jer, whatever? Was it not a woman who cast a piece of a millstone on him from the wall so that he died in Thebez? Why did you go near the wall? Then you shall say, your servant Uriah the Hittite is dead also. So the messenger went and came and told David all that Joab had sent by him. And the messenger said to David, surely the men prevailed against us, and they came out to us in the field. Then we drove them back as far as the entrance to the gate. The archers shot from the wall at your servant, and some of the king's servants are dead. And your servant Uriah the Hittite is dead also. Then David said to the messenger, thus you shall say to Joab, do not let this thing displease you, for the sword devours one as well as the other. Strengthen your attack against the city and overthrow it, so encourage him. When the wife of Uriah heard that Uriah, her husband, was dead, she mourned for her husband. And when her mourning was over, David sent and brought her to his house, and she became his wife and bore him a son. And let's listen to this. But the thing that David had done displeased the Lord. Like I said earlier, as I was reading this book and I was getting ready to teach this to the youth, these three words, then it happened, just would not leave me. Then it happened. We see David, he was a great king. He was a great warrior. He was a man after God's own heart. Under king, as David is king, Israel grew more so than under any other king that Israel had. You know, David seems to walk right into this then it happened moment without any warning. Everything was going good for David. Like I said, great king, great warrior. Read 1 Samuel, 2 Samuel. You'll see for yourself. But he seems to be at a point in his life where he walked right in to this didn't happen moment without ever knowing that he was fixing to walk into it. He probably wondered one day, as he looked back on his life, he probably said, how in the world did I find myself in this didn't happen moment? How in the world, looking back? I'm sure many of us have probably made mistakes in our life, and we probably ask ourselves that same question. You know, we are fixing to go into one of these didn't happen moments, and we've been through it, and probably years later, we may just simply say, how in the world did that happen? I wonder if David ever whispered those words to his heart. I wonder if he says, man, what in the world just happened? I was just blindsided, in a sense. How did I get here? You know, I think if we're all honest with ourselves, this is going to be a long introduction, a short sermon. So I think if we're all honest with ourselves, we realize that we are no different from David. None at all. We're no different than him. We have to keep our guard. And we're going to talk here in a few minutes about how we can avoid these situations. But we're no different than him. You know, we also, like David, we may find ourselves in these then it happened moments, and we may realize, just like David, how in the world did I get here? What just happened? A great king, like I said, a great warrior, did some great things for God, man after God's own heart, woke up one morning and said, how in the world did I get here? You know, David should have been so keen. David was not a dumb individual. He was a very intelligent man, very smart man. He should have recognized this train wreck coming, and he should have done something about it. Should have done something about it. You know, David went from a great king, a great warrior, to sleeping with another man's wife, getting her pregnant, trying to manipulate the situation, to ultimately having her husband killed. Anybody want to walk down that road? How in the world did David let this then it happened moment occur? Like I said, David hit rock bottom pretty quick. There's no hiding that fact. You know, 2 Samuel is a long book, and this chapter is just a very small portion of it. It's almost like this chapter is way out of place. It should be like in another book maybe or something, because you see what great things God was doing through David. But he hits rock bottom pretty quick. And you know, and I started thinking, like, if this could happen to David, we have to truly understand that it could happen to you and it could happen to me if we're not on guard. So then, what can we do about this? How can we take God's word and learn from it? How can we take God's word and apply it to our lives so we can avoid these then it happened moments? Those probably are the three saddest words in all of 2 Samuel, I think. Then it happened. But how can we take God's word and we learn from that? You know, David, honestly, he should have been at war with his men. You know, scholars, they kind of debate this a little bit. Well, maybe his men told him to stay home. And, you know, I just don't really get that. David was such a great warrior and such a great leader. I tend to believe that he should have been at war with his men. He wasn't, you know. And I coached Colin, Alec, and Griffin in basketball down at the rec department, and you know, and I love to coach. I love to coach, especially basketball. And Steve helped me, and you know, I had to make sure I was there every game, because if I wasn't, Steve was bound to get kicked out, and they wouldn't have a coach. But I love showing up on Saturday mornings. Man, you could not get me to miss Saturday morning. Why? Because I love being with those and coaching those young men. And I kind of look at David the same way, you know. I could see David being a person like, you know, I'm going to war with my men. You know, I'm going to be there. But at this time, he wasn't where he should have been. He was physically not where he should have been. He was mentally not where he should have been. And more importantly, he was spiritually not where he should have been, in my opinion. So this morning we're going to look at three quick things on hopefully that God can show us on how to avoid these didn't happen moments. Didn't happen moments. Go to the book of Luke, if you don't mind. Chapter 12. Verse 31. I know it's 12 o'clock. I'm going to speed up. I think one way that we can avoid these then it happened moments, we can look at the book of Luke, chapter 12, verse 31. It's a short verse. It says, "But seek the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you." If a believer is living for God's glory and His kingdom, he or she will choose priorities for this life that are destined to reap heavenly benefits. I think one thing that we can look at David's life here, especially in chapter 11, and we can kind of draw from maybe his mistake, and maybe use that for us not to make the same mistakes. I think one thing that David lost sight of was his priorities. I think he lost sight of his priorities. I think David probably came to a point and he says, "God, what you have given me is not enough." That is a very dangerous place for Christians to be. God, what you have given me is simply not enough. You know, we have many believers, I believe, in our day and time who are at crossroads, and they're telling God the same thing. You know, I'm getting a little weary, to be honest, to see so many believers in our day and time at crossroads. I'm getting a little weary. It's kind of wearing on me a little bit, to be honest. If I can be very honest with y'all this morning, it's really dragging me down some that we have so many believers at crossroads in their lives. And I wonder if they're at a crossroad because they're telling God, "My priorities are not lining up with your priorities anymore." I wonder if that might be the case. I think we can look at David and we can kind of pinpoint that out, that his priorities weren't really lining up with God's priorities. You know, I don't think it's a mystery that God didn't speak to David 2 hours before this happened and say, "Hey, Dave, why don't you go up on the roof? Bathsheba's over there bathing, and why don't you go ahead and take a quick look, see what you like? Why don't you go ahead and bring her to the house?" I don't think God did that. So I think as we look at the life of David, we can look at his priorities are just not really in line with what God has for him. In a sense, he's telling God, "My priorities are not lining up with yours." That's why a lot of men, and I can speak to men get in trouble because they have different priorities than God. And this is a very, very, very dangerous place to be. You know, if we had the option, and I wish we will one day, I believe, we can probably ask David, "Hey David, remember old chapter 11 when chapter 11 rolled around? Hey, was that a pretty good place for you? Wonder what David would say to us. Yeah, oh man, that was great. That was a great time in my life. That was a highlight, one of the highlights. I'm so glad that God put it in His Word for everybody to read. It's one of the greatest things that I've ever done, to go up on that roof, stare too long, and then watch the snowball effect happen, this didn't happen moment take place." But if I think we could ask him, "David, what do you think about that?" He said, "Man, that was a dangerous place to be." And we as Christians, we have to realize that we're no different than David. And we're bound in the blink of an eye to walk through one of these didn't happen moments. And you know what? Before too long, it's too late. It's just too late. But God can forgive us. Amen. Number two, go to the book of Proverbs, chapter 3. So David should have been seeking God's kingdom. Should have been his priorities, should have been lining up with his. I think he could have avoided chapter 11. One more way. Maybe we could gain a little bit of strength, maybe a little bit of knowledge from God's Word to kind of keep us from these moments in our lives. I'm going to read the first 8 verses of Proverbs chapter 3. My son, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commands. For length of days and long life and peace, they will add to you. Let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. And so find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. I think another way that we can avoid these then it happened moments in our lives is to follow what Proverbs says here. You know, this is a very interesting chapter. I don't know if you kind of caught the play on words there, but this is a really cool chapter in my mind. The odd numbers of this chapter, the odd numbers give a command, and the even number gives a promised result. Did y'all catch that? The odd number. You know, we all know what odd numbers are, right? 1, 3, blah, blah, blah. The odd numbers give a command, and the even numbers give a promised result. Now let me read it again. It says, my son, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commandments. Command. Promise for length of days and long life and peace, they will be added to you. And then it goes on and on and on. A command and a promise. A command and a promise. So we have many believers today putting their trust in things that they shouldn't be putting their trust in. And you know what the main one thing is that I believe that's destroying a lot of people, a lot of believers, getting them off track, getting them into these situations, these then it happened moments. I think mainly we're putting too much trust in ourselves. We're relying too much on ourselves for everything. I can do this. I can handle this. God, don't worry. I've got it. I can do this on my own. I think one way, one area that we and me and all of us can probably work on is to not put so much trust in ourselves. The Bible clearly states, it says, do not lean on whose understanding? Your understanding, your own understanding. So I think that we're putting too much trust on ourselves. I think David came to a point in his life that he was putting too much trust on himself. I'm king. I'm a warrior. I'm this. I'm that. I can pretty much do what I want. I can snap and people bow. I can snap and people can bring me things. I can snap and people go to war. You know, he put a lot of emphasis on himself and a lot of trust on himself. But the Bible clearly states that do not lean on your own understanding. Another place where I think David may have messed up, and we can use this roof as an example, but you can add a ton of things in it. I think David stared way too long upon this roof. He stayed way too long upon this roof. The Bible does not really give an account of time frame, but you read what happened, he stayed way too long upon this roof. I can only speak to guys, a lot of times we need to put things away. I think we stare way too long at things we shouldn't. It gets us in trouble. Got David in a whole mess of trouble. But I think David stayed way too long up on this roof. We can use that, like I said, we can use this roof as sort of an analogy, in a sense. I think a lot of believers are walking into these situations and are fixing to get themselves in a lot of trouble because they're staying way too long up on the roof. Somewhere they should not be. Somewhere they shouldn't even think about being, you know. Kind of maybe they've taken a step back in life and said, I'm at a crossroad. Sometimes we stay way too long on the roof. You know, it was David's decision to do what he did, and no one else's. No one commanded David to do what he did. You ever kind of think of it that way? No one commanded him. He could send people to war in the blink of an eye, like I said. No one commanded David to go up on that roof and did what he did. No one at all. It rests solely on his shoulders. You know, like David is, he's looking at this, he's up on this roof, and he's looking over, and he sees Bathsheba bathing. I wonder what was going through his mind. I wonder if for a blink of an eye, he probably looked over and said, "Ooh, I didn't know there was a woman bathing over there. I need to come over here. Or I need to go back down. I need to get off the roof." Didn't realize. Well, see, that was common. Okay? Let's not beat Bathsheba down too much. You know, that was common what she did. But David, he should have approached the roof and said and saw that and said, "Oh, sorry about that." He probably should have sent her a note and said, "I apologize. I accidentally saw you bathing," you know, or something like that. But he did not. He gets up there and he sees Bathsheba bathing, and he stayed way too long. He probably said, "You know what? No one will ever know. Who's going to care? I'm the king. It's my life. This won't affect anyone but me." Anybody here said those things to themselves when they're making a decision about something? They're at a crossroad at life, you know? You may say these same things, you know? No one will ever know. Who's going to care? I'm the king of my life. I can do what I want. It is my life, and this won't affect anyone but me. All those are lies straight from hell. Amen? They're all just lies straight from hell. Just Satan was just throwing them. You know, we see David here, that he had a lot of I and me, and it was all centered around him. So how do we avoid these moments? We need to start taking I and me out of the whole situation. When God is dealing with us, we're at crossroads in our life, like David. When we think we may be heading to a then-it-happened moment, that we're kind of unsure, we better take I and me out of the situation, and we better fall on our knees and beg for God to direct our lives. A third and final way how we can avoid these then-it-happened moments. Go to the book of 1 Thessalonians, chapter 5. Verse 16, 17, and 18. It just simply says, "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." I think we can take those those three verses, excuse me, right there. And if we were to... If David was sort of in our day and time and we knew that he was fixing to walk down this road, we could probably just give him those three verses right there and say, "David, what do you think these verses mean to you?" And then he may start reading them, and maybe he would have detoured from chapter 11 a little bit. I don't know. These are great verses. They're short, but they're so impactful. It says, "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks, for this is the will of God and Christ Jesus for you." I think one way that we can avoid these then-it-happened moments is that we need to be thankful for what God has given us. Man, look at David's life. God did so many things for David. So many things. You can't even name them. There's just so many. But in a sense, that just wasn't enough. So we need to be thankful for what God has given us. You know, what God gives us is far better than we can give ourselves. Far better. We can't even compare. For what God gives us is far better than what we can give ourselves. Then the second verse says, "Pray a little No, it says pray without ceasing. You know, if we are praying without ceasing and we're praying to God and we're praying with Him in earnest, you know, I believe it's hard for Satan to throw things at us. He will, but I just don't think they will stick as much. Does that make sense? If we're praying without ceasing, Satan will throw things at us, but I think if we're praying without ceasing, those things are not as many will stick to us. And I just think that's the power of prayer, and that's the way it works. I think David's big mistake, he finds himself staring instead of praying. He finds himself staring instead of praying. Boy, what would chapter look like if David would have reversed those two? If he would have been praying instead of staring? Don't know. We only know what happened. But we find him staring instead of praying. And then finally, we should give thanks. In everything, we should give thanks. You know, I was thinking about David and his situation and this whole thing unfolding. And this is one of those chapters that you can read and you can actually play the movie over in your mind. You ever done that? You can kind of see all these things unfolding. And I can see David in this situation, and I would want to say, David, man, you should have been on that rooftop giving thanks. He should have had his eyes toward heaven instead of on Bathsheba. He should have had his eyes on heaven, giving thanks, praising God for what God was doing in his life. Instead of having his eyes toward heaven and giving thanks, what do we find him doing? We find him staring at another man's woman, and then we see the whole thing unfold. So how do we avoid these then it happened moments in our lives? I think a good start, I only gave three, a good start is to seek, trust, and to give thanks. You know, I think as we're all sitting here, I think we all fit into one of three categories. One of three categories. I think some of us are heading into one of these moments. Sad to say. I think somebody probably in the sound of my voice here is heading into one of these then it happened moments. Another category I think that some of us maybe that may find ourselves in, sadly enough, we may have someone here that is in one of these moments. Either heading to one or you're in there. And thirdly, I think somebody here could probably testify that I've been through one of these moments. I think you're either heading to one, you're in one, or you've been through one. The great thing about the life of David is not that he was a great king, great warrior, great leader. The great thing about David's life is that we see him kind of go through all these situations and God forgives him. And he goes on to serve God and do some great things, some incredible things. So regardless, if you can stand, we're going to close here. If you can stand, regardless of where you think you may be, you might be heading into one of these situations, you might be in one of these situations, or you may have gone through one of these situations. But just trust God in these situations. Let's seek Him, let's trust Him, and let's give thanks to Him. With all head bowed, all eyes closed, we're going to open up this altar this morning. Miss Pat, you can continue to start playing. We're going to open up this altar. Where are you this morning?